Good morning.
Good morning.
Equally lovely and equally terrifying to look down from here. Lovely to see so many lovely people. Before we do anything, can we just simply pray? Then we'll have a look and see. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord. Father, that the God of heaven is my Father, and that the God of heaven loves me and cares for me and provides for me, Lord, is faithful to me, even when I'm not faithful to you, Lord. Father, I just pray for help this morning to speak for you, Lord, and maybe say something to build somebody up, Lord, to encourage, to strengthen, Lord, to give help, to just continue on, Lord. Father, if I say anything that is stupid or dangerous or harmful, that you would remove that quickly, Lord. But Father, otherwise, you would speak through me, Lord. Father, that we would be built up as a family of believers here, brothers and sisters. And Father, that we would go on together from here, Lord, and knowing that our God is faithful. Help us, I pray, Lord. I thank you again for who you are. And we just look to you now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Going to leave that alone this morning for a while. I'm going to look, as you've guessed, at the faithfulness of God. We sang those words, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." And maybe that's what I'm trying to convey this morning. I want to speak about the faithfulness of God, and I have to confess, this has not come easy. John suggested maybe speaking about the faithfulness of God months back, and I thought, and it's changed, and it's gone back, and it's been, I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'm back here again. So I'm just hoping that maybe this encourages you the way it has encouraged me. I just want to remind us this morning, and if possible, build us up, because I think that's what we need. The faithfulness of God is written all over this thing, and I've been struck by that this week. From Genesis to Revelation, and I can never cover it all this morning. But my hope this morning is that you might go away from here and look at this subject for yourselves. We're going to do a lot of jumping around. I'm going to read verses and hopefully you'll just be able to follow along. So the faithfulness of God. I want to see how I define the word faithful. How does faithfulness relate to God? And what impact should that have on our lives as we live for Him? So faithfulness. What does the word of God say about faithfulness? Here's my Hebrew now. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is E-M-U-N-A, Emuna, I think. The word simply means firmness, security, steady, or truth. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is pistos. It means sure or true. And just some examples and variations of the word throughout Scripture. So Exodus 17, verse 12, when Moses is praying over Israel, and Aaron and Hur are holding up his hands, the Bible says that his hands were steady. That word steady there is the same word. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, we read these words: "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment and truth. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." The word truth here is the same word. In 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 9, Jehoshaphat the priest says, and he commanded them, saying, "Thus you shall act in fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a loyal heart." And you see it over and over in the Psalms. They speak of God's faithfulness. Psalm 37 and verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." Psalm 89 and verse 49. "Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses, which you swore to David in your truth?" Psalm 100 and verse 5. "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth or faithfulness endures to all generations." Then some New Testament verses. Paul is great, he makes it real easy. 1 Corinthians 1:9, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, no temptation has overcome you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Paul, in some of his letters, refers to fellow believers as faithful. In Ephesians 1:1, he says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. And in Colossians 1:2, he says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he says of God, he who called you is faithful. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you, guard you from the evil one. And then Frank reminded of this a few weeks ago, 2 Timothy 3:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, he cannot deny himself. Then Hebrews 2:17, therefore in all things he has been made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. And in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 3 more. Revelation 1:4-5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Revelation 19:11, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and him who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And Revelation 22:6, the angel says to John, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. So this is a definition of and how the word is used in relation to God, to Christ, to his followers, and to his word. And as I said already, it's from Genesis right through to Revelation, and there's lots more. But there is more. This doesn't just tell us what God is, if you like. This tells us who God is. It is part of God's character. Over and over, Scripture speaks of the faithfulness of God. Over and over, we learn that when God says he will do it, he does it. When he says something will happen, it will happen. This is true for the past, the present, and the future. If God could be unfaithful even once, then he would not be God. Mm-hmm. And we could not rely on any of his promises. And I like this verse in 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be God, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all he has promised. There has not failed one word which God has promised. Which he has promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us. And then another definition of the faithfulness of God. He is unchangeable in his nature, true to his word. He has promised salvation to his people. He will keep his promises. He is worthy of eternal trust. No matter how unlikely his promises seem, nothing on heaven or on earth can prevent God from accomplishing all that he has promised his people through Christ Jesus. And the reliability of God should be a great source of comfort and strength for God's people. We see this in the following verses. Again, the point I made was, I wanted Scripture to speak for Scripture. I don't need to speak for it. So I've used lots of verses. But Isaiah says in Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Your counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. Lamentations 3:22-23, Jeremiah says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. I've said that one already. We also see in Scripture that God is totally trustworthy in his promises. You get that in Hebrews 10:23. God does not lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoke, and will he not make it good? We also see that in Titus 1:2, Hebrews 6:18, and Romans 3:4. I've already mentioned the verse in John 1:9, he is faithful to forgive. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's probably one of the first verses I learned when I got saved. And this week I learned something new from it. Get this, he says he is just, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. both of them. He forgives us, but he cleanses us. God is also a covenant-keeping God. In Daniel 9:4 we read, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession. And I said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and those who are keep his commandments." And then Joshua, as he is dying, says these words in verse 23:14, "Behold, this day I am going by the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed which the Lord your God has spoken concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." You see, God is eternally reliable, steadfast, unwavering, because faithfulness is one of his inherent attributes. God does not have to work at being faithful. Faithfulness is an essential part of who he is. Psalm 89:8 said, David says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you." And I've already referred to these verses in Lamentations. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You knew it was coming. Spurgeon says, "See where Jeremiah gets his comfort. He seems to say, bad as my case might have been, bad as my case is, it might have been worse, for I might have been consumed, and I should have been consumed if the Lord's compassions had failed." And Jeremiah says that they are new every morning. Each dawning day gives man a hope in the fresh mercies and hope from God. Jeremiah says that great is his faithfulness. The word great there simply means abundant, abounding, mighty, much, or plenteous. Simply put, it's sufficient. And I'm going to ask, do you know this of God? So far of all that I've said, can you say these things of God? You see, we understand God's faithfulness more when we know his character as revealed in his word. And I was trying to make a list of the people who could testify to the faithfulness of God. And it was, when you sit and you start going through this, it's not easy. But I found Hebrews 11 to be a great help. You've Abel, you've Enoch, you've Noah, you've Abraham, you've Isaac, you've Jacob, you've Sarah, you've Moses, you've Rahab, you've Gideon, you've Barak, you've Samson, you've David, you've Samuel, you've the prophets. And he says, and the list goes on. If the men and the women of the New Testament all can testify to the faithfulness of God. But what about closer to home? What about you and me? What do we know? What can we say about the faithfulness of God? In my day-to-day life, my walk with God, in your walk with God, can you testify to the faithfulness of God? See, this morning I was going to share part of my testimony, but I don't want to. I don't want to make this about me. But I will say this. Over and over again, through all the highs and lows, through all the joys and griefs, through all the seemingly impossible situations, God has not failed me once. Never. Some of his answers have been yes, some have been wait, and sometimes his answers have been no. But he's always been faithful. See, preparing my testimony recently, and I've learned something in my testimony and in our testimony. I've learned that my testimony can be summed up in three words, and it's simply this, that he is enough. I'm still learning, but it's not about stuff, it's about relationship. I go back to Job, and I love Job. See, Job lost all the stuff, he lost his property, he lost his business, even his children. And yet we read these words from Job 1:21. "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, for Job, it was never about stuff. It was about a real living relationship with a real living God. And likewise, we should be able to say the same. But why? Why is God enough? And I couldn't do it justice. I couldn't answer it. But I found a hymn that does. I'm just going to read this, and then we continue. It's 239 in our hymn books. It says, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed, I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. Mm-hmm. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he'll never cast me in. My heart is leaning on the word, the living word of God. Salvation by my Saviour's name, salvation through his blood. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough for that Jesus died, that he died for me. See, God has bound himself to me by a covenant. It's been sealed by the blood of his son. We read these words in John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You see, we can say that God is enough because he is faithful. He has proven himself to be faithful over and over. I love this. He is mine. He is my friend. He is my comforter. He is my father, and he is my God. He has said it, he will do it, and I will believe him. He has made made promises to us. His word is full of them. Sometimes I'm not allowed to have any fun. This was the part I was going to ask you to get involved. I was going to ask you to give me your favourite verse and tell me why. But I won't, because I might frighten you. But the point is this. Collectively, we could all agree, our lives all demonstrate that God is faithful. But instead, I'm going to share some of my verses. We're nearly there. Hebrews 13 and verse 6 is a quote of Psalm 118 verse 6. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it's a quote from Deuteronomy 21 6. For he himself has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. This is Morse Spurgeon's song. This promise from God from Deuteronomy 31 6 is the foundation for contentment. We can't count on material things, but we can depend on God and his promises. I'm going to read that again. This promise from God from Deuteronomy 31 6 is the foundation for contentment. We can't count on material things, but we can depend on God and his promises. Now these are the two quotes. First one, you that are familiar with the Greek, look at that. You who are familiar with the Greek text know that there are five negatives here. We cannot manage five negatives in the English, but the Greeks find them not too large a handful. Here the negatives have a fivefold force. It is though he said, I will not leave thee, I will never forsake thee. And the second quote is, I cannot under the influence of this grand text find room for doubt or fear. I cannot stand here and be miserable tonight. I'm not going to attempt such a thing, but I cannot be despondent under such a text as this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I defy the devil himself to mention circumstances under which I ought to be miserable. If this text is true, child of God, nothing ought to make you unhappy when you can realize this precious text. See, Hebrews 6:13 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he swore by no one greater, he swore by himself. When God promises, it is secure. You can stake your life on it. And this is why faithfulness of God is so critically important. We're told in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Malachi 3 and verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. This is the God that we need. This is the God that we follow. The God who has given his promises, who has proven himself faithful. And just to finish up, after all that we've covered, you might say, so what? What does this mean? What does it all matter? The faithfulness of God gives us a confidence in God, and that in turn gives us hope. Hope for now, even in the face of all your trials. It makes the most difficult bearable. It means that as you endure the trials of life, you know God goes with you. But there is more. It gives you hope for eternity. Knowing that your sin has been forgiven, put away in the eyes of a holy God, your eternal future secure, what he says he will do. And how will we know the faithfulness of God? First and foremost, we read this. Study your Bible. Know the promises of God. It's funny, she got a new car this week. New car came, it's all bells and whistles, it's all buttons and stuff, and there's a manual. And I went straight to the buttons. And I nearly cleared the whole thing. In order to know how to run that car properly, I need to read the book. John has a car 10 years. He told me today he found the button that he didn't know the other day, that he didn't know he had. If we read this, we will know the promises of God. We will see how he has bound himself to people and how he has kept his word. And then we live by faith. We trust him. We claim his promises. We live them out and he will come true. He has not failed us yet. Israel in Psalm 126 and verse 4 says, "The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad." And Paul at the end of his life, and I really like this, he says these words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 16 and 17. "At my first offence nobody stood with me, all forsook me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." At the end of your life you will be able to say the same thing. And all this allows us to join in Jude's doxology. "Now to him who was able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Amen. Can we just pray? Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your faithfulness. Lord, it means that we can live life. Father, the fact that we have an unchanging God means that we can stand on your promises, knowing that you will do what you have said. And Father, that you one day will bring us home to be with you. Lord, we're the most blessed of people, and yet, Lord, we get so tied up. Lord, we take our eyes off you, we take our eyes off your promises, and we look to ourselves, we look to each other. Lord, we look to everything but God. Father, give us the faith to look to you again today. Father, to trust you that, Lord, in all the unknown, you have it written already, Lord. Father, none of this is a surprise to you, Lord. Father, you're doing wonderful things in our lives, Lord. We don't see it. We're too close sometimes. Forgive us for that, Lord. But Lord, help us to have the faith to believe that you will not leave us nor forsake us. Father, you are not finished with us yet, Lord. Father, we thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing. And Lord, we just praise you for that this morning in your holy name.